There, we're, now we're here. Yeah, good.
Well, I just wanted to say to Dan Raleigh this morning that our granddaughter, great-granddaughter, is awesome, isn't she?
She is awesome.
Yeah. So both great-grandparents are part of this family, pillars in this house. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty
awesome. So this morning I want to talk for a few moments. It's been a long time. I don't know if I know how to preach anymore. Maybe it's like riding a bicycle. You just get on and start riding. But I want to talk in light of where we are as a nation, where we are as a church, and where we are as followers of Jesus. I want to talk about it's time to seek the Lord. And I love to be light and have everybody really feel good and be humorous and have everybody laugh. But I want to be a little serious this morning because I believe that the season that we are in as a church and the season that we're in as a nation really calls for concerted effort of God's family to begin to seek Him. And I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. And I promise you that I won't keep you after 1 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your tremendous love that we know, that we experience, that we live in. Lord, we want to see you today in the Word. We don't want to just hear a good sermon, but we want to see you. We want your presence. We ask that you would reveal your heart to your people today, your call, that which you would have us do. We pray that you will just reveal that to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, maybe it's a verse that is memorized as much as John 3:16, at least within this church, in this church family, we have heard this verse thousands of times, and we probably, most of us, have memorized it, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. I look forward to the day that I stand before the Lord and I show the Lord how well I have memorized that verse. But see, the question will not be whether you have memorized that verse or not. The question will be, have you discovered that plan? The question that God will ask us, have we lived out that plan? Because you see, it's possible to quote that verse again and again and again, and yet never ever experience the plan. Never live out the plan that God has for us. And the most important thing as followers of Jesus is that we learn to discover the plan that God has for us. Maybe more important than anything that we do in life is the discovery of the plan. And the tragedy is so often that many of us are very religious in our actions and very faithful in our devotion, but yet we never fully discover the plan that God has for us. The plan that God has for us is only discovered when we learn to seek the Lord. It's only discovered in seeking the Lord. See, I can't tell you that in all the counsel that I can give you as a pastor. I can't tell you the plan that God has for your life. all of the books that you read, all the sermons that you hear, they might help you find the path. But we've got to realize that the only way that we can truly discover the plan that God has for us is when we learn to fully seek the Lord. Now, the reason that verse is so important to us, and the reason we like that verse so much, is because God has created us to be successful. Yeah. The DNA within you that God put within you, your very nature, is to be successful. I've never heard anybody say, I want to be a failure. Never heard anybody say, oh, my goal in life is to be a failure. Just got back from a fishing trip that I go on at least once a year to Rivers Inlet. I just did my 42nd trip to Rivers Inlet. I'd like to tell you about my trip to Rivers Inlet because I was successful. I caught a 55-pound salmon. We caught seven. Tim was with me. We caught seven big kings. We had a great time. We were successful. You didn't hear about my trip last year, did you? Because last year's trip was a dud. The only time in 42 years that we didn't catch any fish in the inlet. You didn't hear about it. Because we don't like to talk about our failures. We only like to talk about our successes. Because God has created us to be successful. I know the plans I have for you, and the plans are to be successful, to prosper you. That means to be successful. And what we discover is our best laid plans do not produce success. As much as we scheme, Pastor Justin, as much as we talk, as much as we sit down and we try to figure out what to do, how to do it, when to do it, the best laid plans that we have will not produce success. The only thing that produces godly success in our life is what we discover in seeking the Lord. Good. And that's why it's so important in the time that we live, in the economy of our nation, within this church, where this church is at this season and time that God has us in, we've got to learn what it is to begin to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Let me read for you from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let me read a story for you. It will help you understand God's heart here. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 3 says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. Uzziah was the 10th king in Judah. In the lineage of kings, he was king number 10, but he was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him, say it, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. I believe that we are here, and I'm talking to us as family. I believe that we are here in this season for the success of our church. I would like to hear some amens. That's why we're here. We're not here just because this is a thing that we do every week or sometimes a couple times a month or once a month or whatever it is when we do it. But our hearts are really for the success of our church. We are bombarded continuously again and again with schemes for success. I am a Facebook person. I do look at Facebook at least once a day, maybe more than that, like all of us who are on Facebook. And I'm kind of overwhelmed at all of the advice and all of the schemes and all of the methods that people put out there how to be successful. Yeah. I'm a little overwhelmed with those who are of a religious persuasion that point the way for success in churches today. Thousands of books are written how to be successful in what you do. Conferences, the internet, you can Google it. It'll be there. This is the way it should be done. And if you're going to be successful, Pastor Justin, you got to pick up some of these ideas and implement them. That's the way to success. Ideas, thoughts, opinions, methods for success. I want to give you 7 keys for a successful marriage. How many of you know they don't work? I'll give you 10 keys for successful parenting. I want to give you 4 things that you need to know for financial success. And I want you to show you how to grow a successful church. On and on and on and on. And yet the Bible is very clear. God is very clear and gives us a formula for success that's not complicated at all. As long as we seek the Lord, God will give us success. As long as we are willing to seek God, God will give us success. Now, there's 3 things in this little portion of Scripture from Uzziah's life that we need to learn. 3 things that we need to learn. Did I just say 3 things for success? That's not what I'm saying. 3 things of how to seek the Lord. Number 1, success is a gift from God, and it's not a human achievement. It's a gift. It's a gift that God gave him success. God didn't give him a formula for success. God gave him success because he was willing to seek the Lord. That's simple. We make it so complicated, but it's that simple. See, could it be that our culture today has so obliterated what success is, what godly success is, that we don't even have a perspective today of what success really is? See, I can't compete with the world. I can't compete with all of the flamboyant things that the world does, and we try to bring it into the church, and then we call that success. See that's not what God is talking about. Our culture so influenced our perspective of success that we no longer seek the Lord for success. We run off to a conference. Somebody who, after the world's view, has become successful. Or we pick up the latest book, or we do the latest thing. See, we've lost our perspective of what success is. See, let me tell you. If we could find one of these guys who's probably on television, and if we could bring him here to be our pastor, the greatest, you know, guy, because our world thinks it's all in personnel. You give him enough resources, enough time, and the right people, and we can be successful. See, that's not God's way. See, God takes a 16-year-old boy, makes him king, and he was successful. See, because it's not the world's view. So in our churches today, it's been reduced to a self-help gospel, which has produced a congregation wanting their weekly dose of make-me-feel-good gospel. We come together, and we do our 20, 30-minute sing-along, and really it's been reduced to that. And again, I'm making a wide sweep. I'm just, you know, painting with a big wide brush. I'm not talking about anything in particular or what we are. I'm just saying, as a whole, we come to our 20, 30-minute sing-along, followed by a half-hour talk to make us feel good, and we leave with hope for a successful week. And that's what it's been reduced to. But God says success is a gift from God. It's not human achievement. It's not the person. It's not the persons. It's that the body of Christ, the family of God, are willing to seek the Lord. And when they do, God will give us success. And if we want to be successful as a church, we have to understand it's a gift from God. God gives us a gift because we're willing to seek His face. The second thing we learn from this portion of Scripture is success is the product of God's help, not human effort. It's a product of God's help, not just human effort. Going on in the portion of Scripture, it says, "And he went forth and he warred against the Philistines, and he brake down the walls of Gath, and the walls of Jabneh, and the walls of Ashdod, and God helped him." And verse 15 says, "He was greatly helped." Broke down the walls, and God helped him because he sought the face of God. Now listen, the walls are strongholds. Listen to me. The walls are strongholds built by man that war against the purpose and the plans of God. The walls need to be broken down. The walls that men have erected, even within the religious community, they need to be broken down so we can walk in the purposes and the plans of God. Our best is not success without God's help. Whatever you want to produce, whatever you think you produce, listen, if it isn't God that's helping, then it's not success at all. We need God to help us break down the strongholds. The strongholds in the nation. The strongholds in the church. The strongholds in families. The strongholds in the lives of fellow believers. But we'll never do it without God's help. See? It's God that helps us in those. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a theory. Everyone has a plan. Everyone knows how it should be done. If you don't believe it, just watch what's going on in our nation today. Watch what's going on in our church. And all of our effort will not make it happen. God was His help, and God wants to be our help. Number three, God's help is also conditional. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now listen to me. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully to me. What was success in the past may not be success today. Are you listening to me, family? A bold move that I believe was God was that we were to lay down our GL program at this time and see what God wanted to produce out of it. I know it's caused disturbance in people's hearts. It's caused frustration. It's caused all kinds of opinions, all kinds of accusations, everything. But I want to tell you, God wants you to know that what was our success yesterday may not be our success today. If you don't get anything else this morning, please get that. See, what we knew as success for the last 24 years may not be what God has planned for us today for our success. And listen, what is success today may not be success tomorrow. See, we have to understand that. We have to understand that God's help is there, but God's help is conditional upon our willing to seek God. When we feel lost or unsuccessful, our plans, our thoughts, our opinions are not the way to success. Your thoughts, your ways, your plans, your opinions may not be the way to success, because success only comes by seeking the face of the Lord. The tragedy of Uzziah, and we don't have time to go into it this morning, is he became very powerful. He became very popular, but he also became very prideful. And instead of seeking the Lord, he took things into his own hands, and he had his own idea of how things could be done. And he goes into the temple, into the sanctuary, and he takes the sacrifice, and he begins to offer the sacrifice. And the priest says, Uzziah, don't do that, because God says only the priest can offer the sacrifice. And yet he offered on the altar the sacrifice that was not God's plan. Only the priest could do that. And the minute he did that, a leprosy appeared on his face and he died a leper. As long as we seek God, God will give us success. As long as we seek God, God will give us success. We don't rest on the laurels of the past. We seek God for today, that God will give us his plan, his revelation of what he wants us to move into. So if I have a word for us today, for this body, if I have a word for this family in these days of transition, there may be uncertainty as we seek to discover the plan God has for us. But our success will only come from seeking the face of God. It's not the responsibility of a few. Amen. Oh, hear me. Please hear me. It's not the responsibility of our leaders. It's not the responsibility of our pastors or our elders. It's our responsibility as a congregation to seek the face of God for God's plan, what he wants us to move into as a body. And I don't know how that will all play out. But I do know, church, I do know, if I know anything, after 50-some years in ministry, I do know that as a body, we have got to take time to seek the face of God and not just wait upon a few leaders to say, this is what God has for us. We need to seek God together for the plan that God has for us. I want to hear God say, this is the way, walk ye in it. I want to hear the voice of God that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. And let me quickly talk just a little bit now about what it means to seek God, what it means to seek the Lord. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus teaches his disciples what we call the Beatitudes, and this is what he says: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Good. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're the ones that are going to see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart. Being pure in heart has to do with your thoughts. It has to do with your desires. It has to do with your sense of purpose. It has to do with your will. It has to do with your understanding, and it has to do with character that resides on the inside of you. That's what pure of heart has to do with. So David says in Psalms 24, listen to this verse very carefully. "Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord?" Who's going to come into God's presence? Church, who's going to come into God's presence? Who's going to stand in his holy place? That's what I want more than anything. More than anything in life, that's what I want. I want to be one who can stand in the presence of the Lord, who can stand in his holy place. That's what I want. Who's going to do that? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands has to do with the sin of your life, the outward, overt actions that the Bible and God call sin. Only one way to deal with that, and that's through repentance. Only one way. We talk about the grace of God, the love of God, that I know that I miss the mark, and yet I can stand before God, and I can say, "God, forgive me," and I know God forgives me. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's clean hands. See, that's what you see on the outside. That's what we measure on. We always major on that, you know. We talk about the sins of the world. We talk about the sins of our lives. We're talking about those outward things that are our rebellion, not only rebellion against God, but missing the mark that God has for us. But we deal with those through repentance. But then he goes on and he says, "But who has a clean heart?" Who has a pure heart. And that has to do with what's on the inside of you. When you come before God, what's your motive? When you ask God, what's in your heart? See, what's the motive? What's the thoughts behind it? What's the desire behind it? See, and so often our heart, our desires and our thoughts and our motives are so far from what reality is and what God wants. But that has to do, a pure heart is what's on the inside. Also, he who does not lift up his soul to an idol. An idol is your thoughts, your opinions, the plans you have for your life. Those become idols. Anything that comes before the plan of God in your life is an idol. If it's a thought, if it's an opinion, if it's a desire, Those can become idols. So the man who's going to stand in the presence of God is one who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swears what is false. Now listen, this is one that God's got to deal with us about. Because so much today is called God and it's not God at all. See, we swear what is false. We say, "Oh, that is God," you know, and excuse me, but I probably won't get to preach for a while again anyway. To encourage the congregation sometimes, to encourage the body of Christ sometimes, we just say, "Oh, wasn't that God? Wasn't the presence of God so real?" And I say, "Man, I must have been somewhere else. I must have been in the other room. Something must have happened when I coughed. I don't know, but I say, you know, sometimes we swear falsely. We claim things are God that aren't God at all. See, You can't. God says, no, no, no. You got to know what's God, and you got to declare what's God, and not call something that's not God, God. Verse 5. This one will receive blessing or success from the Lord, and vindication from God, his Savior. I can say to the leaders of GHCC, I applaud your decision and the steps that have been taken most recently in regards to laying down our GL program. I believe you've heard from God. And listen, it might look foolish, but God will vindicate. But God will vindicate. To that man, it says that God will vindicate. And vindication from God, our Savior, if we seek the Lord. Such is the generation of those who seek God, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Hallelujah. We talk about a generational vision. That's our generational vision. Those who seek him, who seek his face, that's our generational vision. And if we teach anything to the next generation, we need to teach them 15 books how to do anything. We need to teach them how to seek the face of God. If I could go back to Yeso Kwagla Bible College in Africa and I could direct the Bible College again, it would be much different. Because instead of teaching them all of those theological things that we think are so important, I would spend my time teaching them how to seek God. I would teach them how to seek God. Because I know the success comes only from seeking God. Vision comes when there's a pure heart. Vision and plans and program that are not found at the face of God will never produce godly success. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's my prayer. God, create in us a pure heart. God, create in us body. Creating in us a pure heart. May we be a people that are known as people of a pure heart. You see, it's not the plan or vision that we have. It has to do with relationship, spending time with Father God, seeking the face of God. Moses stood on the mountain, said, oh God, let your presence go with us. Yeah, come on. Let your presence go with us, oh God. Oh, I want that so bad. I want that more than I want anything. God, I don't care about the programs that we have. I don't care about those things that look good to the outside. I just want to know that God's presence. In fact, God, if your presence don't go with us, then we're going nowhere. We're going nowhere. And that comes in seeking the face of God. Let me close with this verse, these verses from Psalm. Just listen to them. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? But oh God, I seek you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. That's past tense. I have seen you. In the sanctuary, I beheld your power and I beheld your glory. But God, I want to see you now. Because your love is better than life, and my lips will always glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. I will sing, my lips will sing, and my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. because you are my help. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. It's time to seek the Lord, because God is our help. Amen. And may we as a church, may we for this nation, may we for our fellow followers of Jesus and families, may we seek God, the face of God, his presence, because God is our help. Amen. Pastor Justin.